Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It's great to be with you. As I said, can't wait to get back with everybody. I think Ashley posted a video on Facebook of the sanctuary with one of our services when it was really full, and it was so awesome. And I was like, man, don't you miss that? And it was so awesome to have everybody here and excited and anticipating what God's going to do. Well, let's still anticipate what he's going to do, because I can tell you he is busy. That's for sure. And there's a lot of activity in heaven right now with the prayers of the saints coming up. Like, I don't even know when last. I believe the church is activated and praying like right now like never before. And so that's kind of what led me to where I am this morning and what I'm going to be speaking to you about. But I think before we really dive into the message, when you study the word, you'll find that there's so many parts that make up the whole of what God is trying to say to us and teach us. And, you know, his plan is for us to be in relationship with him. And it's amazing how through his story, he teaches us how to live. He teaches us, you know, how to do things and how to connect with him. Through his story, it's just incredible to me. You know, and I was this morning, you know, when I was just sort of talking to the Lord, I was thinking, you know, the most powerful thing that we have with us, that we have that we can say and do is, you know, the Word of God is the most powerful thing, because the Word of God was in the beginning. And I want you to kind of think about that. If His Word was in the beginning, that means it was before the beginning, actually, because the Word was there before we even have what we have. And so there's no truth outside of that word. There's nothing that can compare to it. It's kind of like, you know, it's just perfect. It's powerful and perfect and complete, and it's in everything that it is. It's the word of God just has everything that we need. And, you know, just amazing that, you know, we have so many ideas and thoughts and what we want to say and all this stuff, but the word of God remains the same from the beginning, in the beginning. You know, before all things, the word was there. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about building or rebuilding, but I want it to be based on truth. That's really what I'm going to be speaking to you about. Let's go to Psalm 145, and we'll start there this morning. This is a Psalm of David. Beautiful Psalm. But there's one point I need to bring out to you this morning that when I saw this, I was like, man, I never saw that before. Psalm 145, verse number 1. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Man, I wish I could pray like this guy. I mean, when David talks and he speaks to God like this, and he's like, it's like poetry, and it's like butter on the tongue, and it just like flows out of his mouth, and it's just so beautiful, you know. And like, I just, you know, it's because he was a musician. You see, and you know, and he had this ability of when he would speak to God and he would pray and write poems and he would write the word, and it would just flow so beautifully. And when he would speak to God and he would declare the way that, you know, he sees the Lord, it's so amazing, you know. He says in verse number 5, I will meditate on your glorious splendor, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of your glory, of the glory of your kingdom, and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hands and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak of the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Isn't that beautiful? I'm jealous. I'm like so jealous of how incredible David can speak. I wonder the Lord says he was a man after my own heart. When you speak like this about God in the most profound way, just speaking of his splendor and his wonder, you must understand that it must have affected David in such an incredible way that when he spoke of God's goodness, it was really coming from deep inside his soul. It was very sincere, and he obviously had seen the hand of the Lord and the goodness of God in his own life and known and studied generations even before him just how mighty and wonderful God is. And we know that the Bible says that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God is still like this right now. But there's something I need you to see. There was one verse that just jumped out at me, and it's verse number 18. Let's go to verse number 18. This is what it says. And watch what he says here because it's powerful. He says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. Now that should be enough, but then he says it again, but he puts in a condition. So he wants you to know that the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him, look at this, in truth. So the Lord is near to all those who call upon him in truth. Remember, you cannot change God's word. We cannot make things and desire things to be the way that we perceive or want them to be. That's why, for example, and I know I'm just going to throw this out there real quick and then move on. I don't want to say more about this. But that's why we're doing what we're doing with our call to pray for our leaders in this nation. Because at a time like this, it's absolutely vital. It's vital for us to do what God instructs in 2 Timothy, that we should pray for our leaders, for kings, and we should pray for those in positions of authority so we can live a peaceable life, so that God can turn and sway their heart and do whatever he desires with them. So that's why we do that. So if I wasn't going to be obedient to his truth, I would rather base on my opinion, I'm not going to pray for that president, or I'm not going to pray for that governor, or I'm not going to pray for the mayor because I don't like him. It doesn't matter whether you like him or not. What's important is that you do what God says and we follow his word and act according to his truth. Then when we do that, the Bible says that he will be near us. He is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Now this whole thing is all about the goodness and power and majesty of God. And then he throws this out there. It must be important. It must be very important for us to take note this morning that it is imperative for us to build on God's truth. And even as we rebuild, if you study, the book of Daniel, I've been studying the book of Daniel, Nehemiah, and Ezra, and as you study and see the way the children of Israel go back to build the temple, they build the temple, but yet even after Ezra goes to build the temple, what happens is the walls just don't stand. There's like war on them the whole time, and it's just they can't get it together. And you see Nehemiah, how Nehemiah has this incredible way of seeking God so intensely. And what I love the most about it is Nehemiah is not like Ezra. Ezra was a priest. Nehemiah is just a cupbearer. He's just a normal guy. But he's so faithful to God. And if you study it, you'll actually find out that he cries out to God so many times. And when he begins to rebuild the city, I don't have time to get into all of that this morning, but you will find that when he calls the people, they call all the people together once they've rebuilt and they lay out what does the word of God say? Let's go back to the book of Moses and see what does God say? How are we supposed to live? What are we supposed to do? And they rebuild and they establish a foundation of the truth of God's word. That's how we have to rebuild. But this is not the only scripture where it's so imperative, where we see this word truth used in a profound way. It's actually used many, many times. Ephesians 6, verse number 14 says this. This is the full armor of God. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's amazing that the part of the armor of the soldier, when we look at the full armor of God, the part that is truth is the waist, the belt. And I think it's incredible because the truth is, if you study the belt of a soldier, it holds it all together. I mean, have you ever had a bad dream where you go out without your pants on or without your shoes on? Okay, well, okay, that just came out, okay? So what I'm saying is, it's like you can't do anything without everything connected, with all your equipment on. And in fact, the belt would hold the swords in place, and there'd be a place where the shield could connect, and the belt held the armor together. You cannot stand with the full armor of God on unless you're walking in truth. Not our opinions, not our desires, not our ways, but His ways, His truth. Well, how do you fight? You can't fight with your ideologies and your theologies. You have to fight with God's word. We have to fight with His truth. That's how we fight. That's how we stand. That's how we build, church. As we go into a season now, as we begin to rebuild our city, as we begin to rebuild the church, as people begin to rebuild their businesses, listen to me. Do it in truth. Do it with honor. Do it according to the word and the will of God. And as you begin to rebuild, He will be in it, and you will see the hand of the Lord so powerfully on your life. The Bible says in John 8, verse 32, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is very, very powerful to me because most of you know this. But the truth is that until you're walking in truth, have you ever walked in a lie or lived in your life and you're lying about something and you're kind of like being deceptive? How many of you know that when you live like that and you're not walking in real truth, that deception is something that like it's like a dark cloud that lives over you. The truth will set you free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So He is the Word of God because He was in the beginning. So His Word, His foundation, His life, that's the truth that we walk in. If we try as believers to change things or to change ideologies or to change God's statutes or His limitations or His laws or whatever, if we desire, we're going to do it what we think. I want you to know that it will affect your walk with God and it will affect the way you build. It's always amazing to me when people come to me and they tell me something going on in their life and they want you to just say, well, this is what it is. Well, sometimes it's so difficult because there can be so many different things going on in our lives that cause all kinds of different things to happen. We never can really pinpoint, and sometimes even if we look really deep, we'll never really know. But I can assure you, the safest place you can be is in truth. If you can walk a life of integrity and truth before the Lord with not your ways, that's why we pray every day. Not our will be done, Lord, but your will be done. We want to build the church your way. We want to pray your way. We want to fast your way. And you can see man in all of that stuff. When you look at the way we do church sometimes, it's definitely man's way. Even when you look at the way we fast, well, we want everyone to see. Well, you look at what you do and you pray. Oh, people's this and people that. We can take God out of everything. But the truth is that we need to do it His way. We see so clearly with the woman at the well. When the woman at the well is with Jesus and they're having a conversation back and forth about, you know, where we should worship. And Jesus says to her, He says, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Church, let me tell you right now that we are in an hour right now where God is seeking that on the earth. He goes to and fro on the earth looking for true worshipers. And the body of Christ is coming together, as we know, like never before, beginning to cry out to him for repentance and all of that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it has to go beyond that. Because once we've cried out and we've repented and we've said, Lord, please forgive us. We can't then tomorrow go back to doing things that are not right in his sight. We have to step into truth. This is not about condemnation or your sin. I'm not interested in that. What I want to ask you is, are you living a life before God that is truth? Because he's looking for us to worship him in spirit and truth. Well, you know, let me, if I find that one scripture, that will show you that what I want to do is really right. Come on. That's not what it's about. Someone said to me the other day, well, you know, the Bible says that, and it's a great point that he made. You know, someone that lies will not enter the kingdom of God. Well, we all lie. Just not me. But most of you lie. Okay, I've lied too. But the truth is that we will get into the kingdom. What it is it's what's in you. Is truth in you or isn't it? I'm not giving you an excuse to lie. Listen, one lie will lead to two, to three, to four, and before you know it, you will be living a deceived life. And the worst part is that most people that get there can't see it. They can't see that they're living deceived. They can't see their own weakness because they've convinced themselves that their lie is true. And that's the most dangerous place to be. But what it means is when you start to lie and you start living a life of lie, or you begin to go against God's word. That's why repentance is so important. So when you do lie, repent. And then don't carry on doing it and repent again. Repent and turn from it. All right, I don't want to get into lying, but let's just continue. I hope you're with me this morning. Amen. Thank you for that overwhelming encouragement, guys. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Genesis, okay. We're going to go to Genesis in just a moment, but I want to say something to you first. While I was busy with my sermon, this story came up. And I was amazed at what I saw. Most of you know the story of Jacob and Esau. And Jacob was known as a supplanter. In fact, the Bible says that when he was coming out of his womb, that he actually tried to grab his brother's foot. And it's amazing because, you know, we see this incredible story of this young man, and his mom's actually completely behind him, not wanting the oldest son to get the blessing that he's supposed to get. So when the son goes out to hunt, as the father instructs him, I'm going to bless you. Isaac instructs his son Esau to go out and to go and prepare everything, because when you come back, I'm gonna bless you. So the mom prepares the meal, and they put sheepskin on the youngest son, on Jacob, and he goes to his father. And I need to read this to you because this is so important, what I'm about to show you. Genesis 27, verse number 18. So he's now going to his father to deceive his father because his father's blind. And he wants the blessing that's supposed to go to his older brother. Genesis 28, verse 18. So he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you? Watch this. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. This is important. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat my game, that your soul may bless me. So he completely deceives his father, and his name actually means supplanter. He's a deceiver, and it's incredible that he does this. He deceives his father, and his father gives him the blessing. And once he's got that blessing, he's gone. He makes a run for it. But if you study scripture, you will find that even though Jacob had favor, his life was a struggle. Even when he was going to get married, he was planning to get married to the one daughter, but it didn't work out. His father-in-law tricked him, and he had to work for him for another 7 years, not only 7 years. So everything was difficult. He was toiling. And even though he has this encounter with the Lord, and everything looks great, and he commits to God that he will give him of his livelihood, and he's going to walk with God. And this is how so many of us are. But in our lives, in our walk with God, we still not walking completely truthfully with him. And Jacob was living this life, which was really a deception, even though his livestock was growing and he was being blessed and God was speaking to him, but yet something wasn't right. His whole life was built, and even what he began to inherit was all a lie. He wasn't walking or building his life in truth. And I believe that he was miserable. I believe that deep down inside, he was upset and he was always living in fear. And we can prove this scripturally, that he was in fear, because we know that when he's about to meet his brother, he's terrified. God tells him to go back to the land that I've promised your father. I want you to go back there. And when he goes back, he's about to face his brother. He's about to face his lie, his deception. He's about to face and deal with the consequences of what he's done. Let's take a look quickly at what it says. Genesis 32, verse number 9. Are you guys all okay out there? Amen. All right, Genesis 32, verse number 9. Then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies. Watch. And all the truth which you have shown your servant. This is so powerful. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff and now have become two companies. Because what he did was he took his family and divided them in two, because he was going to meet his brother, and he thought that at least if they kill half of them, the other half can survive. That's how bad and how full of fear he was, because he was living in deception. His life had been built on a lie, even though God was with him. Are you with me, guys? Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and my mother with the children. For you said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes. He's even reminding God of his promises, because he's about to face his fear. He's got to face the demons of his past, when he lied and deceived his brother and got the promise, and all that he has should have been his brother's, but now he's been given it. And he's crying out to God, listen, God, I know, you know, I made some mistakes, but you said you would be with me. You could be a believer. You can be serving God, but still not walking in total truth. God is looking for a generation of people that will worship Him in spirit and truth. He's not looking for us to do things according to our own agenda. And as we begin to rebuild the church, and talking as a whole, we need to put our agendas aside. I really couldn't care what your denomination believes. What's important is the Son of God that came and died and rose again. And right now, the biggest and most important thing is two things to me. How much I love and serve Him and want to follow Him. And the other thing is souls, people's lives. That's what matters. That must be our agenda. We don't have to agree on everything else, but those are the things we need to agree on. Now watch. Let's go to verse 22, Genesis 32, verse 22. Just bear with me. I'm going to make a point in just a moment. Genesis 32, 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and the 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok, and took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man, capital M, which means that it was more than likely God, wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Looked to me like he was already blessed, but anyway. Now, I want you to think about this. He asks the question. Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And look at what proceeds out of the Lord's mouth. So he said to him, watch this, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. If you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed, and you need to understand that this goes much deeper than this encounter. It's been a struggle for Jacob all the days of his life. He struggled, he toiled, even to get his wife, he struggled, he toiled. He lived a lie. He had to run from his family. He had to run and run from his family, run from those that he loved, go to a different country. It hasn't been easy, but he has struggled. And the Lord says, you have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And this is normally how we leave the story. But I need to take you back to when Jacob was with Esau. And Jacob asks Esau a question. I'm going to read it for you exactly what it says. When Jacob's father asked, who are you, my son? When Isaac asked Jacob, who are you, my son? Jacob's reply, I am Esau, your firstborn. In other words, he lied, and his whole life was influenced because of that lie. Now watch. When he says to the angel of the Lord while he's wrestling with him, he says to him, I will not let you go until you bless me. In other words, I'm done with my life. I'm done with everything I've had to deal with. I've got to face my brother. You need to bless me. And the question that is asked is, what is your name? And in that moment, I believe that Jacob answered him truthfully and said, my name is Jacob. In other words, my identity, who I really am, is Jacob. And in that moment, God, the curse was like broken. And in that moment, he was truthful. He didn't lie. He didn't pretend. He was exactly who he was supposed to be. And God turns around and changes his name to Israel. And it's a powerful thing that takes place in that moment. I want to say to you this morning, church, that we have come to a point as the body of Christ where we cannot look and try and build and do things on our own ways and our own ideas. It's time for us to build in spirit and in truth, to worship in spirit and in truth, and when we do that, we will prevail. Now, I want to show you just how powerful this is, because the next morning, the Bible says in Genesis 33, verse number 1, now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. And he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph lost. I'm not going to talk about that, but that's another story for another day. Some favoritism there. Then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. He was free. Jacob was free. And he was no longer a supplanter, a deceiver, but his name had been changed to Israel, and the tribes of Israel are born, I believe, in that moment. And the promises of God that, you see, God knows even when you're walking in your deception, even when you're walking in your lie, and you're walking through it, and you know you're not supposed to be doing things the way you're doing them, but God knows that he has a plan for your life, and he'll get you through it. The question is, are you going to get to that place like Jacob was, where he says, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go, God. I need for things to change. I need to start doing things the way that you desire. I need to stop trying to twist the word so that I can live the way that I want to live to suit my ways. I'd rather do it your way, Lord. I'd rather do it your way, because your ways are better than my ways. Your ways are truthful and bring life and bring healing and deliverance. Like David said in Psalm 145, 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. If you want to have a relationship with God and walk with him and hear his voice and he directs your steps, the secret is to listen to his voice, obey his word. His word is filled with truth and life. It's life-giving. It'll change the direction you're going in right now. I don't care what the coronavirus has done to you. I don't care what's happened to you right now in this situation. You may not have a job. You may not be sure about your future, but I want you to know that the Lord is near to those who walk in His truth. If you stick by Him, if you stick to His truth, if you hold on to His statutes and His promises and the things that He calls good, we say they are good. We obey His word and follow His command. I want you to know He will bless you. He will get you through this. It'll be better than what it was. And as we rebuild and move into the next phase of what God has for us, we will build on truth, a solid foundation, a cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Most High God. Let's lift our hands, everybody. Let's lift our hands. Let's stand just for a moment, right there where you are in your home. Let's have a moment with God right now. His word is truth, and it doesn't matter how you feel. You see, you've got to get to that place where you say to God, I'm not going to let you go, God. I'm not going to let you go. I need to hold on to the truth of your word. Your word says you'll never leave me or forsake me. Your word says that I should go this way. I'm going to go this way. Father, I love you and surrender to you this morning in this place. Let's worship the King just for a moment. Father, this morning we honor you. We honor you, Father, and we put your word first in our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will be our teacher. You will lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, that you will make a way for many where there seems to be no way right now. Did you not say, Lord, that you would send the comforter, the helper, that he would come and he would teach us and show us and He would be our comforter. He would comfort us when it's going tough, Lord. But it is our desire, Father, to follow you. Like it was when you called the disciples, when you said to them, follow me. And they just dropped their nets. The fishermen, they dropped their nets. They jumped out of the boat and they followed you, Lord. I pray, Father, that it would be like that with us right now. Father, that we will follow you. Follow your words, your desires, your will. And Father, we honor it. We thankful for it. Your word is holy. It is holy. It is sacred. It is so divine and special. And we value it and treasure it with our whole hearts, Lord. Let our lives be filled with your truth, Lord. I pray, Lord, for those that are watching and that their hearts might be broken in this moment, that you would touch them right now, Father. For your grace is sufficient and your mercy endures forever. Anger is for a moment, but your mercy is everlasting and new every day. Lord, I pray right now that you would pour out your mercy and your grace, for your grace is sufficient. And Father, all it takes is a decision. It's a moment. It's a moment. It's a moment that can be a defining moment where we cry out to you and say, from this moment, Lord, my life is yours. I give it to you, Lord. I give you my life. You gave it all first. It is my honor and privilege to give you mine back. You are so good. Like David said, you are great, Lord, and greatly to be praised. What can I say, Father? We are the lucky ones. We are the blessed ones because we know you. Oh, to know you. Oh, to know you, Lord. We are the blessed ones. We are the fortunate ones because we know your goodness and your mercy. We know your love. We have tasted and seen, and we know that it is good. Have your way, Father. I pray for the nations this morning in this atmosphere. Your presence is so strong, Lord. I pray for the nations this morning. We pray for our nation this morning. We pray for deliverance and healing. And Father, all the negativity we cancel right now in Jesus' name. For you did not come to give us death, to put fear on us. You came to give us life and life more abundant. So we submit ourselves to your truth this morning. Father, heal this land. Heal this nation. Call your people once again to cry out to you, Lord. There is so much at stake right now. And there is an enemy that rages against the plans that you have, even for this planet. But Father, all we can say is your will be done, Lord. Your will be done. And so we thank you and we love you and honor you this morning in this place. Again, I will say it, we are the lucky ones because we know you. We know your grace and your mercy and your goodness. Father, I pray for everyone watching right now that you will bless them, that you will strengthen them, that they will be encouraged, that the joy of the Lord will be their strength and the peace of God will be their portion. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. It's been so awesome to be with you this morning. And don't forget, we'll be back tonight at 6 p.m. Have an awesome and blessed day in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.